Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020.
Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020.
Your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello. Thank you. You've called into Smoke Rules Radio, another show. My mind's always somewhere else. Luckily, this show does not contain opinion. This show does not contain the own ideas that flow through my own mind. This show only contains articles that were found on the internet and quoted and read to you. So let's begin. First on Smoke News Radio, episode 111. Why billionaires spend millions fighting to legalize cannabis. Written by the Southern Maryland Chronicle.com. Depending on whom you ask, Charles Koch will be called the titan of the industry, the monetary gray cardinal of politics, or Marcus Aurelius of the libertarian movement. But soon Koch may be known as the billionaire who convinced Republican and Democratic opponents to legalize cannabis at the federal level. While Koch himself does not use weed, he has publicly stated his long-term standing belief that cannabis should be legal throughout the country. So he is using his name and nearly 25 million of his $45 billion fortune to influence criminal justice reform and the legalization of marijuana by the end of 2021, in 2 weeks. Brian Koch's right-hand man says it's worth the money already spent on how much Koch and his network of like-minded people are willing to spend. Over the last 2 years, the total amount, $70 million. An ardent libertarian, Koch considers banning cannabis in any form, joints, Delta 8, spray. They're always mixing this stuff up. He's like, what? Sorry. Like, the brain thinks what I just said. Like, did I read that right? Okay, let me start that over. As an ardent libertarian, Koch considers banning cannabis in any form, joints, Delta 8, sprayed flower, or vape to be a violation of personal freedom, as well as a destructive government policy that only worsens the problem of mass incarceration in America. He says the United States must learn a lesson after the horror of the alcohol ban a century ago. Koch isn't the only one who thinks so. About 70% of Americans now believe that cannabis should be legal. 18 states now allow adults to use marijuana, and 37 states allow medical hemp consumption. That gives the industry more than 17... All right, we're back here on Smoke News Radio. Koch, who isn't the only one who thinks so, about 70% of Americans now believe that cannabis should be legal. 18 states now allow Oh, wait, I got another idea. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Yes, this is working. What do you mean? Shucks. Thanks, Blog Talk. Let's just try the guest number then. That'll work. GUE. There we go. Oh, the website. Hold on. Gotta do all these things. Smoke News Radio. Smoke News. Okay, Blog Talk Radio. How to run a Blog Talk Radio show successfully with Jason Brodsky. Login. Whoa, login. Yes. Dun 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 dun. Okay, Smoke Rules Radio is attempting to see if this wants to work right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Back here on Smoke News Radio with a quick check to make sure it is actually broadcasting, as it is just on one device right now. USB Audio Recorder Pro. Let's see. Do I got the echo going on right here? There's not many programs I actually purchase. Here we go.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Smoke Rules Radio is part of something that's coming through. It might not be too loud, and I realize that right now. So, let me try with the headphone here. No, that's into there. Okay, there we go. Put that there. Eventually, he reads news. It's kind of funny. Eventually, though. Okay. So figuring out getting the volume levels up on this. Good. Here we go. Where'd it go? Smoke News Radio. Welcome. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, on the first article, and it's only been 8 minutes. Okay. From Why Billionaires Spend Millions Fighting to Legalize Cannabis, we have a list of millionaires and billionaires who have joined the movement for a cannabis legalization. We got Jeff Bezos. Before Bezos retired as Amazon CEO, the company announced it would lobby to accept the federal legalization of cannabis. We got William Gates. In 2014, the Microsoft co-founder revealed that he voted to legalize weed in his home state of Washington. And that's not shit. Dustin Moskovitz, the Facebook co-founder, has been supporting legalization since 2010, and he donated 70,000 American flatbacks to a failed initiative to vote on the state of cannabis in California. Sean Parker, the Napster co-founder and first president of Facebook, donated millions and millions of dollars. Side note, along with Pfizer, who gave him all the money, to Proposition 64. a 2016 initiative to vote to California to legalize the free use of marijuana in the state, aka six plants, or you're going to jail. And next, Boris Jordan, that was another side note, Boris Jordan, the head of Curaleaf, one of the largest cannabis companies, became the first fool to make $1 billion on cannabis in 2019. And we got our buddy Jay-Z, the upscale marijuana brand called Monogram, sells premium handmade joints for $50. No news was altered in that reading. Next, from the BBC.com, new import fee for medical cannabis into Guernsey. The medical cannabis will be subject to a lira $25 import license fee. Patients in Guernsey who get medical cannabis from the United Kingdom pharmacies will need to pay an import fee. The lira 25 license charge would come in place early next year, officials say. The new fee was being introduced to support covering the costs of processing license applications, the Health and Social Care Committee said. One patient who uses medical cannabis said the fee would mean reducing how much he used. Gabe Barb said he used medicinal cannabis to treat his PTSD and ADHD. Gizbarb treats his post-traumatic stress disorder and ADHD with the drug. Quoted, it would mean reducing the amount of medicine I could get. The move comes after the states of Guernsey gave the United Kingdom firm the first license to produce medical cannabis in Guernsey. The new charge also follows the opening of two companies which distribute medical cannabis in Guernsey. From Monday, all outgoing licenses will include a reminder of the intention to charge for the service. Between October 20 and September 21, the Health and Social Care Committee processed 3,000 licenses. From the WVGazetteMail.com, West Virginia growers and dispensaries facing changing corporate landscape. Trulieve is one of the world's largest cannabis companies after acquiring another mammoth, Harvest Health and Recreation Inc., for $2 billion. Close to home, the Cannabis King also puffed off a transaction crucial to future West Virginia operations, buying Mountaineer Holdings for $6 million cash stock ACK, according to an online cannabis pub, MJ Biz. The deal happened earlier this year. The West Virginia Office of Medical Can did not initially award Trulieve a growing license that would have forced the company to buy product from someone else. Now that it has a growing license via Mountaineer Holding, other companies might be coming to Trulieve, providing it can satisfy the two dispensaries. Oh, I'm still on, sweet. Hopefully. At least I'm recording it, so I have the...
Trulieve is one of the world's largest cannabis companies after acquiring another mammoth, Harvest Health and Recreation Inc., for $2 billion. Close to home, the Cannabis King also puffed off a transaction crucial to future West Virginia operations buying Mountaineer Holdings for $6 million cash stock act, according to an online cannabis pub, MJBiz. The deal happened earlier this year. The West Virginia Office of Medical Cannabis did not initially award Trulieve a growing license that would have forced the company to buy product from someone else. Now that it has a growing license via Mountaineer Holding, other companies might be coming to Trulieve, providing it can satisfy the two dispensaries. At least I'm recording it, so I have the recording. Okay. All right, fast speaker.
Smoke News Radio. Now it's recording again. Yes. Now, am I even online? It's, you know, the phone's doing their own thing. I don't have got like 1,200 phones here. I give my phones away. I go to another country or you use it. You got a better use for it than I do. Smoke News Radio. Smoke News Radio. Smoke News Radio. Okay, it has a 1.5 second lag between me talking on the microphone to actually hearing my voice. Maybe it's more of a 1 second or something. So let's hold that channel. And let's keep going. Trulieve used the growing permit it obtained by buying Mountaineer to set up a 100,000 square foot facility in West Virginia near Lissig in Cabell County. The Huntington Area Development Council marketed the building to Trulieve. Buying Mountaineer gave Trulieve licenses to grow, process, and dispense in West Virginia. An arrangement known as integrated or vertical provision, Mountaineer Holding was one of the original companies awarded a growing license by the State Office of Medical Cannabis. The West Virginia Secretary of State Business Registry lists Mountaineer Holdings. Records say it's doing business is Trulieve. Jason Frame, director of the Office of Medical Cannabis, told an audience at the agency's last quarterly meeting that only 3 to 10 permitted growers are doing so. The other two are Columbia Care in Martinsburg and Harvest Care Medical in Bridgeport. Department of Health and Human Resources Director Allison Adler said in an email, both are also integrated providers, meaning their product will be funneled first to their dispensaries. Licenses exist for 100 different dispensaries in West Virginia. Okay. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Smoke News Radio. Get back to where we were here. Got to zoom in, zoom out. To see the words a little better. It's all planned just perfectly to the last second. Next from Smoke News Radio, thegrowop.com. Police find truckload of compressed cannabis hidden in shipment of eucalyptus wood across the Malaysia-Thailand border. A couple transporting an 18-wheeler full of cannabis near the Malaysia-Thailand border learned the hard way that cargo containing loaded inconsistencies can attract unwanted attention. It's not clear if the would-be smugglers also miscalculated their minty, pine, and honey scent of eucalyptus wood would be enough to cover up the skunk of cannabis. Following up on a tip, a large shipment of cannabis was to be smuggled by boat from Thailand into Malaysia. Police set up watch in a seaside village in Tak Bai December 8th, according to the Bangkok Post. That's when they saw a large parked tractor trailer. Checking out the vehicle, officers reportedly grew suspicious after looking at how some of the eucalyptus timber was positioned. They decided to remove some of the wood in one suspicious pot and discovered 20 fertilizer sacks, about 1,000 kilos of compressed cannabis. Checking out the second spot, officers found 14 more sacks, almost another kilo of weed, reports the Bangkok Post. It is estimated that had the illegal cargo made its way to Malaysia, it would have been worth at least 50 million baht. That's $1.9 million for about 2,000 kilograms of pot, according to CTN News. The 37-year-old driver of the truck, who was traveling with his 25-year-old wife, reportedly told police he was waiting for someone to take the marijuana by boat to its final destination. The couple was arrested and will likely face drug offenses, side note, that are often capital. Lexology reported last month that local news reports out of Malaysia indicated that government officials have said the import and use of products containing cannabis for medical purposes is allowed, provided all rules are met. Or, side note, used to be capital. Recreational cannabis, however, remains illegal in the country, known for its severe drug laws. The Prime Minister has repeatedly confirmed the drug's legal status is not likely to change anytime soon. In late summer, it was reported that a Malaysian couple who allegedly made and sold cannabis-infused baked goods could face the death penalty after being found out by police. And in July, the police busted an illicit cannabis ring allegedly run by 5 college students. Side note, capital offenses. There we go. That's interesting how they... Uh-oh. That one's through the Wi-Fi. Off the phone. You have one phone doing a lot of things right now. Really cool. Okay, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have small-scale California cannabis growers say they're barely hanging on, from CBS Local KPIX. When in 2016, voters approved Proposition 64 legalizing recreational marijuana, those who produced the product thought their ship had come in. It hasn't quite worked out that way. This weekend, the Emerald Cup Harvest Ball returned to Santa Rosa after a year off the pandemic. 30,000 cannabis fans were expected in the fairgrounds, each seeking a favorite craft of bud. This year, organizers offered crime cut. Okay, sorry, that was just, it's opinion. It's not like fact. So I'm trying to find the proper news. From religionnews.com, because religion has been the only news for humankind for hundreds of thousands of years. From religionnews.com, 1210, Rastafari want more legal marijuana for freedom of worship. From Columbus, Ohio, Mosia Tafari banged his drums and chanted psalms with other Rastafari in a ballroom where the smoke of frankincense mixed with the fragrant smell of marijuana, which his faith deems sacred. The ceremony in Columbus, Ohio, marked the 91st anniversary of the coronation of the late Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie, whose Rastafari worship as their savior. For hours, the group played traditional Nimbahi music on their most important holy day. Tafari, a member of Columbus-based Rastafari Coalition, which organized the event, quotes, "Cannabis is something that puts you in contact with the spiritual aspects of life in the physical body. It's important for Rastafari because we follow the traditions of the scriptures and we see that cannabis is good." For Rastafari, the ritualistic smoking of marijuana brings them closer to the divine. But for decades, many have been incarcerated because of their use of cannabis. As public opinion and policy continues to shift in the United States and across the world toward legalization of the drug for both medicinal and recreational purposes, Rastafari are clamoring for broader relaxation to curtail persecution and ensure freedom of worship. Ras Nayan, a music producer from the United States Virgin Islands and a Rastafari coalition member, quotes, "In this system, they're focused on, oh, we can make a lot of money. We can sell these medical cards. We can sell this ganja. But what of the people who have been persecuted? What of the people who have been sent to jail, imprisoned, even killed? We must address these things before we get too ahead of ourselves." Quotes Naya, who attended the ceremony wearing a tracksuit in the Rastafari colors of red, green, and gold. The Rastafari faith is rooted in 1930s Jamaica, growing as a response to black people to white colonial oppression. Side note, European oppression. The beliefs are a melding of Old Testament teachings and a desire to return to Africa. Rastafari follows belief the use of marijuana is directed in biblical passages and that the, quote, holy herb induces a meditative state. The faithful smoke it is as sacrament in a chalice pipes or cigarettes called spliffs, add it to vegetarian stews and place it in fires as a burnt offering. Ganja, as marijuana is known in Jamaica, has long history in that country, and its arrival predates Rastafari faith. Indentured servants from India brought the cannabis plant to the island in the 19th century, and it gained popularity as a medicinal herb. It began to gain wider acceptance in the 1970s when Rastafari and reggae culture was popularized through music icons Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, two of the faith's most famous exponents. Tosh's 1976 hit Legalize It remains a rallying cry for those pushing to make marijuana legal. Rastafari adherents to the United States, many of them black, say they have endured racial and religious profiling by law enforcement agencies due to their ritualistic use of cannabis. Tosh's youngest son, Jawara McIntosh, a singer and marijuana activist who performed under the stage named Tosh One, has served a 6-month sentence for possession after police say they found over 65 pounds of marijuana in his rental car when he was attacked in New Jersey jail in 2017 and then left in a coma. He died last year. The attack prompted his sister, Nyambe McIntosh, Peter Tosh's youngest daughter, who was a teacher in Boston at the time, to become an advocate for criminal justice reform and launch a campaign to fight the stigma surrounding cannabis and support those affected by its prohibition. She quotes, "I realized that his story had to be shared because no family should ever face these harsh consequences over a plant," said McIntosh, who also heads the Peter Tosh Foundation, which advocates for legalization. The so-called war on drugs declared by President Richard Nixon more than five decades ago prompted a rise in anti-possession laws, including stricter sentencing. The negative impacts of the drug war have for years drawn calls for reform and abolition from mostly left-leaning elected officials and social justice advocates. Many of them say that in order to begin to unwind or undo the war on drugs, all narcotics must be decriminalized or legalized with science-based regulation. McIntosh quotes, "We had founded the Peter Tosh Foundation originally with the Legalize It initiative geared at promoting science, the spiritual benefits of cannabis, but also recognizing that those that have been harmed by prohibition should be at the forefront of this new booming business. The concern is shared by other U.S.-based Rastafari as corporations look to invest in and profit from recreational and medical cannabis." Tafari quotes, "Maybe take some of those finances, those many millions and billions and trillions of dollars, and invest them back into the brothers and sisters who have been incarcerated over a long period of time. Invest in our communities that have been damaged. Maybe allow some of the Rastafari to be part of those business endeavors as well." Shifting public opinion and policy on cannabis has led countries like Canada, Malawi, and South Africa to ease laws in recent years. While it remains illegal on the federal level in the United States, lawmakers from Oregon to New York, which have passed a raft of legislation legalizing cannabis in a third of the United States states. A Gallup poll released last year indicated that 68% of Americans favor legalizing marijuana, double the approval rate of 2003. In mid-November of this year, Republican lawmaker Nancy Mace of South Carolina introduced legislation in Congress that, if passed, would decriminalize cannabis federally, an impediment cited in many states that have opted not to pursue legislation on their own, but it would not change local level restrictions, meaning that states would still determine their own marijuana statutes. In Jamaica, authorities gave the green light to a regulated medical cannabis industry and decriminalized possession of a small amount of weed in 2015. The country also recognized the sacramental rights of Rastafari to their sacred plant. Jalani Nya, a lecturer in cultural and Rastafari studies at Jamaica's University of West Indies, quotes, we are able to access a certain kind of connection with creation, and that is ultimately the sacramental gift we seek to defend. Jamaicans are now allowed up to 5 plants per household for personal use, but Nia said this has not stopped run-ins with police. Quoted, Rastafari have had various challenges where they've had herbs confiscated and disappeared in police custody and continue to be abused in relation to claiming a sacramental right. There's really a slip between the pen and the practice. Jamaican Minister of Justice Delroy Chuck said in a statement that, quote, instances of perceived discrimination are unfortunate, unquote. But the government continues to facilitate equality and inclusion in the legal regime. Chuck quotes, in fact, there have been and continue to be several sensitization sessions undertaken since the establishment of the legislation. These include sensitization sessions with our law enforcement agencies. Other Jamaican Rastafari are concerned that they have been left out of the burgeoning business. Ras Iya V, a Rastafari advocate and former member of Jamaica's Cannabis Licensing Authority, in 1982, convicted and served a short sentence and fined for cannabis possession, quotes, the people who went to prison, who had to run up and down from police and police helicopters, they financially could not afford to get involved in the medical ganja industry. When the Jamaican government launched a program in 2017 aimed at helping traditional ganja farmers transition into the legal industry, he was hopeful that it could help the Rastafari community. But today, he is very disappointed, quote, in terms of how it is going. The vast majority of our ganja farmers are not able to participate because they don't have land. Setting up a 1-acre cannabis farm following the guidelines established by Jamaican law can cost thousands of dollars, he says. End quotes. And finishes with, the cannabis industry has now been taken out of the hands of the Rastafari and the traditional ganja farmers and placed in the hands of the rich people. It makes us very bitter because we don't see any justice in that. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your hope, Jason Brodsky. Not hope, just Jason. La la la. Next, from Chicago.Suntimes.com, written by Emily Leshner, Associated Press, was the previous article. Okay, written by Tom Scuba, CST. Cannabis workers pushing to unionize. Illinois local 811 Teamsters local. Oh, here we go. cannabis workers pushing to unionize amid complaints of low wages and rough working conditions claim they've faced stiff resistance from the corporate pot firms that employed them. In January of 2020, the blessing of Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, employees at Cresco Labs Cultivation Center in Joliet voted to become the first Illinois cannabis workers to unionize, joining United Food and Commercial Workers Local 881. But the historic vote, held within weeks of marijuana being fully legalized in Illinois, came after the National Labor Relations Board sided with Cresco and exempted the site's growers from the vote, deeming them agricultural workers and thus prohibiting them from joining a union under federal law. A source familiar with the process claimed Cresco's move to cut out a large chunk of the workers served as, quote, the beginning of union busting attempts in Illinois, said the Cresco spokesman. Said the company merely wanted the law to be followed. Employees at 11 dispensaries have since voted to join either the UFCW Local 881 or Teamsters Local 777. Through one election is being contested, the formal allegations of retaliation have been levied in retaliation to another. Some efforts have fallen short and others are ongoing, but only two contracts have so far been ratified. One of the workers for Joliet and another for the employees at Cresco's Sunnyside Dispensary in Lakeview. The NLRB records show Cresco and three other companies that currently operate unionized cannabis businesses, PharmaCann, Aceta Wellness Holdings, and Curaleaf, have all retained high-power law firms to handle labor issues, many of which are experts in so-called union avoidance. All four companies grow and sell weed across multiple states and have significant footprints in Illinois. Employees at three unionized dispensaries separately complained of demanding workloads, a lack of job security, the glaring economic disparity between cannabis workers and their bosses. Bud tenders at two of the four unionized Curaleaf dispensaries specifically bemoaned making around $16 an hour and learning Curaleaf's billionaire Boris Jordan bought a $14 million mansion in Florida last year. Patrick Vinson, side note, who probably used to work at Curaleaf in Mokena, says, they're rolling in the money at the top, and they're not giving us any scraps. All three workers also said they felt some form of pushback from their employers over their respected unionizing efforts. Vincent and other Curaleaf employee Jake Lytle both complained that they were subjected to meetings with managers and consultants in which they discouraged from joining UFCW's local union. They also claimed that co-workers were moved into managerial roles in an apparent bid to lower the number of workers who could vote. Then, after their votes, they were allegedly told that non-union employees were being offered a raise that couldn't be extended to them. Jordan Rahill, a Curaleaf spokeswoman, didn't respond to questions about some of those claims, but said the company hired consultants, quote, to ensure the team members were educated on the facts of unionization to make an informed decision during the voting process. She added, quote, "While we believe we offer competitive compensation and benefits, a flexible work environment and positive working relationships, which team members would feel there is no need for union representation, we respect the voices of our team members and will meet our legal obligation to negotiate with UFCW in good faith. In some cases, through anti-union efforts have allegedly been more overt than the forced sit-downs Vishan described. An unfair labor practices charge filed by the Teamsters in October with the NLRB alleges that a, quote, known strong union supporter, quote, was fired from PharmaCann's VeriLife dispensary in Arlington Heights, quote, in order to discourage her union activities and support for the union, unquote. Weeks later, a union news release announced that workers at the location and another VeriLife store on the near north side had voted to join up. Another charge filed by the Teamsters in September holds that PharmaCann CEO Brett Novae, quote, promised benefits in order to discourage union support, unquote, in the Arlington Heights election. Side note, look for dispensary workers in the obituary. The union, which also represents workers at Ascend's two MOCA dispensaries in Chicago, also filed charges on behalf of workers at VeriLife's Romeroville store. Which is looking to unionize along with employees from the Rosemount and Ottawa locations. Among other things, those charges accuse PharmaCann of firing another employee who joined a support. Joined or supported a labor organization, and, quote, forcing, quote, employees to work over the holidays, quote, in retaliation for filing a representation election, unquote, and supporting the union. These are, quote, James Gilmore, president of Teamsters Local 777, quotes, "These are fights every time we do them," said one of the complaints related to union elections. Quote, "We're doing bottom-up organizing, so we're working with the workers and fighting for their issues. So that's where we're getting into the weeds on this stuff," unquote. Jeremy Unher, a spokesman for Chicago-based PharmaCann, said the company's responses will be provided to the NLRB, although records show they haven't yet been filed. He noted that PharmaCann currently offers its employees a tremendous workplace package that includes health insurance, a 401k plan, with a matching contribution and other benefits. He quotes, "That said, we believe our employees should have the freedom to choose whether to be represented by a union or not. If our employees choose to be represented by a union, we will bargain with that union in the best faith." Cresco has similarly faced 6 unfair labor practice charges in Illinois, all of which were withdrawn. Ascend has been subject to 2. One was dropped and the other dismissed, NLRB records show. A spokesman for Cresco, Jason Erics, declined to comment on the charges. A spokesman for Ascend didn't respond to inquiry. And side note, Smoke News Radio spokesman Jason Brodsky will speak and read the news. Lytle, a product specialist at Cureleaf's flagship Weed Street location in Goose Island, helped lead the charge when he and his co-workers narrowly voted to join UFCW's local earlier this year. Now they're waiting for a final decision after Cureleaf challenged the results. He quotes, "They have a lot of ability to try to delay the vote, so that's been a tough to deal with." The uncertainty isn't unfamiliar. As Lido and his colleagues were working to organize, they were often unsure who was actually running the shop. At the time, Massachusetts-based Cureleaf was purchasing the store from Windy City Cannabis as part of a larger $0.83 billion deal. In an August 19th filing with NLRB, Cureleaf's attorney with Littler Mendelson, the largest employer side labor law firm in the country, called for, quote, a rerun election and raised concerns about the initial vote, which was held by mail and determined by a single ballot. Such rerun elections are uncommon, and the company spokeswoman Ramil insisted the results were challenged, quote, to ensure that all ballots were counted. Meantime, Lytle said he's been meeting and coordinating with unionized Cureleaf employees, many of whom are similarly dealing with workplace issues and low morale. Quotes, a lot of people running the industry don't really seem to care about even just the culture and the benefits of cannabis, let alone their employees' well-being. Jake Lyle and Melina Gutierrez, product specialist at the Windy City Cannabis Dispensary in Goose Island, held a news conference earlier this year as workers at their shop pushed to join the United Food and Commercial Unions Local 881. Woo! Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. For the last few minutes, I can go over the top of these articles. Next one, also from ChicagoSunTimes.com. Dispensary selling 33 pot shops to, or dispensary 33, sorry, selling pot shops to publicly traded weed giant in $55 million deal. Stores in Uptown and Westtown. So two shops for cash. $12 million in cash. Here's some cash. Let me, as a corporation, buy your weed shop. You got all the everything. All right, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, with about 3 minutes left on the goods here. From the marijuana moment, the IRS officials gives marijuana businesses advice on tax compliance. So the IRS can't do anything on its own to resolve the unique financial challenges that marijuana businesses face as a result of federal prohibition, but the agency wants to make clear that it's here to support cannabis firms with tax compliance nonetheless. So the IRS understands it's not federally everything, but it doesn't want you to get in the illegal bracket, as is the whole point and obviously this is opinion part, is the whole point of the legalization. So people are no longer in the black market selling stuff. So the IRS is really trying to keep these state companies out of the black market and be able to take tax money from them and accept them as proper businesses as they should be. And then there's the Safe Banking Act that was passed. And then the defense bill was introduced that excluded cannabis banking protections. Yeah, it's easier for me to read it than pull out the tidbits. Next, we had from economynext.com, Sri Lanka considers medical cannabis export amid worst ever forex crisis. I don't know what forex is. The foreign exchange crisis. Oh. So people that learned from George Soros how he tanked the silver market in Thailand are going after Sri Lanka with their foreign exchange. 70% in the first 10 months of the year to 2.3. Wow. Okay, and next, Boston Globe. Grove Hall cannabis business proposal prompts community moral battle. In Grove Hall, a battle between entrepreneurs of color who want a piece of the lucrative cannabis business and faith leaders who want to keep drugs out. So different clergy who understandably want to keep people pure from what they've seen drugs do to people. And drugs, plural, marijuana is a single drug. It is not drugs, plural. Yeah. So there's a lot of good things out there to find on the news. There's from prohibitionpartners.com, Poland receives its largest ever shipment of medical cannabis. That's cool. Nice. All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate through all the fun the show has when it wants to work, when I get the audio working. Maybe I might have got it working through one phone right now. I'll see if I can keep that going. Dun, 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 dun. Use the USB to record, and then the line splitter. And then you split the microphone to the USB audio device and then into the headphone line splitter. So splitting a microphone is not always simple. But can be done. All right. I want to let you guys know, do a podcast, find some news that you think is relevant, and speak it to the people. Love you very much for listening. Thank you, Smoke News Radio, with your host. We got Jack Johnson telling us some more news. Let's go.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close
90
your eyes
seconds
to the lullaby. Everything you hear, the diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears. On the news tonight, on the news tonight, the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. Mama said, ooh. people who died. At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eyes. But Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see.